Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and today we bring back one of our great guests, Jim Reedy. He is the partner at Sheehan Fitty. He is also the chair of Labor and Employment Group. And I got to tell you, Jim, boy, there's been nothing for lawyers to do over the last few years. What have you been doing with yourself? Come on.
Banjo lessons, yoga, finding places to eat, all takeout, of course, and trying to scrape by.
You know, I got to tell you, it's funny, as the audience may or may not know, we've talked enough about it. We're both foodies. And I have suddenly become a foodie of what is the best takeout, not what the best restaurant is. So it really is a completely different thought process when you go, isn't it?
Yes. And thankfully, we're getting back to hopefully near normal. And that involves everything from the workplace to where we get to eat to how we conduct ourselves.
Yeah, no question about it. So today, of course, we're going to be talking about that eternal optimism as we do a show called Hope Springs Eternal, From Pandemic to Endemic. A workplace legal challenges and opportunities in a post-COVID workplace. God, I hope the word post is correct, but let's at least assume this forward. Let's keep positive thinking post-COVID workplace. So, you know, as we head into the spring, what's your take on it? What's the overview as you see it today?
Well, I think the overview is we all pay attention to this, and that thankfully, as predicted, Omicron, the most recent variant of COVID, while it was more infectious, it was less variant, meaning that it was less serious, largely, not exclusively, for people that were infected. And it was going to burn out. Most viruses do that. They mutate, and then they burn out. Of course, now we've heard words of a new variant, BA2, which to me sounds like a Vin Diesel sequel. But I think that most people think that with this warming weather, especially in the Northeast, we can get back outside. The mask requirements are dropping. The mandates, of course, were challenged in court and largely dismissed as being overbroad or at least suspended for a period of time. And private sector vaccine mandates have sort of gone the way of the dodo bird largely, but there's still some for good reason that still exist. So I think, you know, as we think about this, and I thought about it last night as I was scanning television and I saw The Wizard of Oz, it reminds me of when they said, come out wherever you are, the Wicked Witch is dead. So I think a lot of employers are looking for employees to come back to work. There is a remote work aspect of certainly going forward. We remain, as they say in politics, cautiously optimistic that we're not going to have another surge or spike. But I think that the question is, as we return to work, what's the new normal going to be?
It's a really good question. I mean, when I think about the new normal, I say to myself, well, it's not the first time we've had a pandemic, right? And I know a lot of people have certainly referred to, you know, many, many years ago when we had pandemics and they didn't shut down the country, that I do know. But, you know, we have to learn from those lessons and maybe a modern version of those. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, I mean, while we can look at H1N1, we can look at bird flu, we can look at other SARS viruses. The one that historians point to is the Spanish flu, and that was 1918 and 1920. And thankfully, David, neither you nor I can remember that. It was long before our time. But worldwide, it was a significant death count as larger than COVID. And it was devastating upon economies and countries. And you're right. While there was no national or community shutdown, there certainly were protective measures in place. And historians say it took over 3 years for people to get back to normal. Now, what we did see was some positive things, like that was sort of the genesis of social assistance and also, or at least the beginning of it, and also modern healthcare systems. But there were adjustments and adaptations. So if we look at that and we look back at March of 2020, we're still, you know, in that 2-year period, and we're not quite back to full normal yet.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And, you know, Jim, employers certainly have, they're tired. You know, if you look at even the HR magazine that came out recently, that was the headline. You know, basically, HR has been at the forefront of this. They are tired. It has been transactional. You know, we say we want to be strategic, but it has felt heavily transactional for 2 years. The rules continue to change, like probably at least in my lifetime, I've never seen constant change like this. So, you know, as we think about that, that is something that we're going to have to think about. Putting HR at the forefront has a cost to HR employers. They really do. And so how do we go about thinking about what's coming next?
Well, I think that, you know, it's HR, I agree, they're at the epicenter. And I'm reminded of, you know, the character in Animal House screaming, all is well, as, you know, trampled by people as they run by. I mean, you think about going back to HR professionals had to first understand what the CDC was saying and the WHO was saying about COVID and how that did change in time and rapidly sometimes too. And then what OSHA was saying, what the state health departments, what the state governments were saying, what Dr. Fauci was saying, and so on, and translating it for the C-suite, communicating to the employees, dealing with furloughs and layoffs, dealing with recalls, dealing with, and then when the vaccines came out, reasonable accommodation, and then perhaps even responding to denials of accommodations and so on. Or the, you know, the employees that complain, why is it so-and-so can work remotely and I can't? There's no question. There was no break for HR professionals. It was a 24/7 job. And there's no question it takes a toll. And now they're coming out of COVID. You have a situation where you've got wage inflation and you've got, you know, a desperate employers desperate in a tight labor market. And I know you've spoken as an authority in this area on, you know, tips employers can have on finding talent in a tight market. But I think those are lots of issues. And I think going forward, you're going to be looking at, you know, again, wage inflation. You're going to look at perhaps a replaced emphasis on wellness in the workplace, perhaps new ways of recruitment and retention, but being careful in that regard too, because of the potential for outstripping your compensation systems. Maybe not having as many full-time employees as a cost savings, maybe using more contingent or temporary workers, hybrid workspaces, and maybe reconfiguring workspaces to smaller footprints. And I think the employer having an expanded role in a social safety net, meaning more parental leave and other forms of family leave. And with all of that, I think, sadly, the workplace is not going to be simplified. It's going to be perhaps even more complex, which puts more of a burden on HR professionals.
You know, you mentioned about compensation. I think I just want to highlight that a little bit because it is probably one of the areas that I have seen employers be much more active in the last, oh, I'll say in the last year, especially since inflation and also just compression, right? And compression on the workforce itself. And we're working with a lot of attorneys as well as employers to try to keep a look at an eye on this. You know, you have these issues of equity that is really playing into, and this is a big deal for employers today. So if I could subset for a second to that, what are you seeing? What do you think of some of the cautionary tales we should learn from? And again, we're of course talking about, I'm going to pause for a second. I wanted to segue into the HR Power Hour lead in. So just pause for a second, Jim. I'm just going to say this. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM. We're of course talking with Jim Reedy on HR Educational Radio. Jim, your thoughts?
Well, I think that you raise a really good point, and it's almost like the housing market. You have to be careful what you pay for. I think employers have to be careful about offering too much. You think of the sign-on bonus, the retention bonus, the referral bonus, all good, but there are legal traps associated with that, especially if you have an overtime eligible employee and how they have to recalculate overtime. And a lot of HR professionals haven't had to deal with it. And certainly people in the C-suite don't understand that. Wait, I'm giving you a bonus and then I have to pay you a bonus on top of overtime. Yes, that's the way our wage and hour laws work. But I think the other danger is offering too much too soon. because you have increased mobility in this marketplace and a lessening of employee loyalty. And I think there's great danger in that. You pay a lot of money through a recruiter or to the individual signing them on, and they don't stay for as long as perhaps a generation before would have stayed. And with that mobility, there are other issues. And the other issues are things like data breach, violation of competition agreements, and then also just, just effectively a lot of issues where you have a revolving door with regard to your workforce, which is that type of instability is something we certainly do not need coming out of a pandemic.
Yeah, it's just been a really hot issue. We're seeing it everything from municipalities right through to nonprofits, you know, of course, the private sector, but it really has been across all segments that compensation analysis, compensation, you know, concerns have been there. And I know a lot of attorneys are working on that. So I just wanted to bring that up. I thought it was important. You know, as we think about some of these challenges that you talked about here today, one of the things that came to mind from a high level standpoint is some of these things having to do with hiring. And you mentioned a few of the issues there, but I think right now, every place I go, people can't find people. People can't hire people. And you mentioned some of the concerns a few seconds ago about, you know, the issues of paying people bonuses and so forth. How much is too much, Jim? What are we looking at in terms of where do you get where's the scope of paying people too much over what you're potentially going to have to deal with and from a compensation standpoint? What do you think that is?
Yeah, if it's considered to be, there are a couple of answers to that, but if it's considered to be a non-discretionary bonus, meaning something that the person is entitled to, I'm going to pay you this amount. If you stay this amount of time, you don't have to pay me back. Then that could affect, if that person is overtime eligible, then you have to look back over the period in which the time in which the bonus was effectively calculated or earned. And if the person worked overtime during that period of time, you have to divide up the bonus, put it into the weeks in which the person earned overtime, increase the regular rate, and then pay 50% above that, basically paying the difference between what was paid and what should have been paid. And a lot of employers do not understand that. But the bigger issue, I think, is outstripping your compensation system. So you have a new person coming to your organization at a starting level at X, where they used to make Y, but everyone else in the organization was based upon Y. And now X coming into it adjusts upstream. Furthermore, and perhaps more importantly, again, we're talking about wage inflation, which is not divorced from inflation. If you produce goods and services, if you've got that labor cost that's particularly high or getting higher, then you have to increase the price for your goods and services, which then makes its way into the marketplace and could affect the sustainability of that business, or it just could, well, it could impact it in many adverse ways. And I think that that's the danger as well. Again, at the same time, you worry about how much is enough to retain the talent and whether or not they're going to get, and you've heard about ghosting, of course, but perhaps you have a job offer out there, and then someone shops that offer, just like we see in the real estate market. You know, you have an offer on the property and say, okay, I'm still accepting other offers. You might have the same in the labor market. And I think that it's a precarious position to put in, where employers do have the work, even with supply chain issues, they do have the work, and they're having a hard time finding people and keeping them. And the question is, at what cost?
Yeah, no, and that's a good point. And as I said, I just wanted to bring this up because it's the number one issue I am hearing, maybe you as well, this employment part, this dealing with the costs of employees, dealing with this whole area is such an important area.
I mentioned very quickly, there's a hidden cost. So apart from the salary or hourly amount, what if you offer generous benefits? Well, those generous benefits are tied to compensation. Whether it's leave benefits or other things, pet insurance, increased premiums and the like, but all go towards the bottom line, right?
Absolutely. And it is a cost to the bottom line. There's no question about that. Well, you know, when we come back, we're going to talk more about the top challenges to expect to navigate. And of course, we're talking with Jim Reedy on the HR Power Hour. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back. In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever.
Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Wise investors know to hedge against stock market collapse by utilizing physical precious metals. Noble Gold is a leader in this conservative financial strategy, offering extensive education, patient counsel, and expert guidance by phone. We've helped many first-time investors move their IRAs into gold using our easy three-step process. There is no time to waste. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free gold investment guide. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
With Zillow, you're not just looking for a house. You're looking for the bathroom where you'll give your kids shampoo mohawks. The bonus room you'll turn into a gym and work out in every single day. Starting tomorrow. You're looking for hardwood floors worthy of your signature dance move, the glitchy robot.
You're not just looking for a house. You're looking for a place for your life to happen. And whether buying or renting, Zillow makes it easy. With simple smart search features, photos, video walkthroughs, and more. Zillow. Find your way home.
If you're single and not dating on Match, then listen up. Match is not only number one in first dates, but second dates too. In fact, they've surveyed over 5,000 U.S. singles to get the top tips and advice when it comes to dating in 2017. Here we go. You want to impress a first date? Put your phone away. 45% of singles would be turned on if you visibly turned off your phone during a date. This is my issue, but the Mets are on it. It's like the eighth inning, and they go to the bullpen. Millennials are 270% more likely than other generations to be turned on by someone who is binge-watching the same TV shows like Stranger Things or OA. Singles flirt everywhere, but flirting at the bar, in the laundromat, or at the gym are the most successful. I like to just say, hey, can I fold your clothes? Oh, see, now I get to, I don't know, but I would like to fold your clothes. Dating can be difficult, so if you're not using Match, you're missing out. Start searching and connecting for free today at Match.com. That's Match.com, Match.com, M-A-T-C-H.com.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to HR Educational Radio. Today, our guest is Jim Reedy. He is the employment attorney, and I say the employment attorney at C. and Finney. All right, you're not just the only, I said, but you are the employment attorney, Jim, right? Can you feel comfortable with that? Are you all right?
Well, as long as we don't tell my partners the other nine people in my group. Yeah, sure, we can do that.
Okay, we'll tell them. They're all wonderful, but somebody has to be the leader, and you're it. So we'll just go with that, okay?
Great.
We've been talking today about Hope Springs Eternal from pandemic to endemic, and we're talking about workplace legal challenges and opportunities and hopefully this post-COVID workplace. Jim, you know, as we're talking about executives here, HR executives, there are top challenges that going to have to expect to navigate. And to be honest with you, it's probably not just HR, it's probably all C-suite. Tell me a little about what you're seeing in this area and how they can be prepared for the next upcoming remaining part of this year.
I think we best define it, David, and I think you and I have talked about this before, it's the new normal. It's not the old normal. And I think those that resist, meaning CEOs that resist the change in the workplace, they're in for a rude awakening, because I think what COVID did was many things, of course, and it was certainly tragic in many areas. But what it did was it caused a lot of people to rethink their work-life balance. And, you know, I think gone are the days of largely your workforce working ridiculous hours and being always connected. You know, in December of 2021, 4.2 million people left the workplace, left their jobs. 4.5 million in January 2022. So, David, you know this better than anyone. it's a tight labor market, meaning there are lots of jobs and lots of jobs to be filled, and employers are desperate. So my question is, when you've got 8.7 million Americans in a 2-month period of time leaving their jobs, where did they go? Perhaps there's a theory here for alien abduction, but there was another study that just came out recently that said 72% of people that resign their jobs now regret it. So we're going through this strange period, but I think it's a buyer's market in that regard, in that employees can decide where to go and what to do next. And I think so HR professionals, C-suite managers, COOs and CEOs need to understand some of the things they need to navigate going forward. I think would include maintaining schedules and accommodating employees who have school-age children, because some childcare facilities are not open like they used to be, or people with remote learning grew accustomed to staying home. The other is the issue about remote work in general. Some people just simply choose to, you know, wear yoga pants or relaxed clothing and just like the comfort of being in their own home or perhaps working from a coffee shop. And that's not meant to be critical of those people that make those choices, because what we found is a lot of people can work remotely. But then you have the issue of the challenges between the haves and the have-nots. Why is it so-and-so can work remotely and I can't? And dealing with those issues on a case-by-case basis without, of course, disclosing truly confidential medical or other related information. You mentioned earlier, David, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Now, the Northeast isn't as diverse as other parts of the country, but that's changing. And the definition of diversity has also changed as well, going beyond race, color, and gender to sexual orientation, gender identity, and so on. So I think employers understanding that and perhaps looking as a part of their recruitment and filling seats or positions is looking at a more diverse hiring practice. We all have pain at the pump and fuel costs or electric costs with regard to utilities. Some of those issues come up when you're looking to hire people or retain employees because they don't want to pay the commuting costs. I filled my car the other day and it cost me over $100 to fill my car. I live about 40 minutes from my office. I'm not sure if I can bike that distance and not have vultures circle me or cause pain for my health insurance carrier. But I think a lot of employers are looking at that, and a lot of employees are looking at what the commuting cost is going to be and whether I should remotely work or live closer to the workplace and what the housing costs are associated with that. Because we've also found in the Northeast, there's a great shortage of affordable workplace housing. David, you live in Maine. Looking at the real estate in Maine and New Hampshire, especially in the Seacoast area, there's a running joke that if it's not 1.2 million right now, it will be tomorrow for the sale price. And then also just let's go back to, again, it's only been 2 years and it's only been a short period of time since February that the masks have come off. So people are concerned that we might have another surge, that this is a false peak. So especially those people with other healthcare conditions or of a certain age group, they want to maintain social distancing and safety standards, and employers, especially HR people, professionals have to stay on guard and pivot as necessary, as Dr. Fauci says we might have to. And then you just have finally the people that are stubbornly resistant to coming back to work and whether or not you're going to make tough decisions one way or the other, either allowing them to work remotely or hybrid practice or requiring them to come back in the office. So I think a lot of challenges to navigate going forward.
No, there's no question. You mentioned the have and have nots, and I think I'd like to focus in on that a little bit. How can employers ensure that they are properly providing policies, documentation, and other needed requirements to ensure that they are covering themselves as employers for those types of decisions?
Yeah, I think that you just can't, a couple of things. we're not, you're not having disparate treatment where you provide remote work only to white males under age 40, right? It's going to be on, based on business needs. And if the person comes to you and says, I have these particular needs, meaning I have a physical or mental disability, I have a, even though it's temporary, I have a healthcare situation that can only be addressed by me working partially or fully remotely. As long as you're not making decisions based upon protected characteristics, with one noted exception, then I think you're fine. You're focusing on what the business needs are. But I think the thing is, every single case in reasonable accommodation is on a case-by-case analysis. And that's especially true with regard to people who have physical or mental disabilities, or even, let's say, a pregnant woman. You have to be very careful in that regard. It's a case-by-case basis in your analysis. But then the question is, so documentation, I think, important, medical and otherwise, keeping that confidential. And a part of that confidentiality is, of course, being very careful what to share with coworkers that don't need to know, meaning the supervisor that's not involved in the decision-making process, scheduling, or even first aid, that nobody knows. So you don't say, well, we allowed Mary to work remotely because she's got that horrible skin condition that, you know, you can't see because it's under her clothing. But man, let me tell you, from all reports, it's awful and it's probably contagious. Of course not. Or, you know, well, you didn't hear it from me, but I think, you know, he's going to take some time to put the cuckoo back on the clock. You know what I mean? You know, he's taking all these psychotropic medications, but again, you didn't hear it from me. Of course not. So there's only so much you can share. And I think this is where sometimes you have to put up the stop sign to an employee saying, why not? And you have to assure them, look, we take all these matters very seriously. And the reason why we're allowing someone to work remotely at full-time or part-time is because it was in keeping with their needs and the needs of the business. And there are certain things we can discuss and there's some things we can't. And I can assure you that we've just made it a well-reasoned basis. And there are things that you don't need to know. If you have any issues or concerns with regard to your work arrangement, let's talk about those. But otherwise, we're not discussing the other person's.
Sound advice, Jim. And of course, you're listening to the HR Power Hour on Newstalk WLOB 100.5 FM, and of course, podcasted across the country and across the nation. And you can, of course, go to hrpowerhour.com as well to listen and learn about the show and get educated. You know, Jim, one of the other things that I'm hearing employers talking about, and you mentioned it, was the cost of gas. And we have employers thinking about doing different things either on a temporary or more permanent basis to help employers pay for that gas. And then doing it potentially with different things like potential gas cards or other things that they're trying to help them with. What are some of the risks that employers have to look at when it comes to, you know, giving these extra small bonuses? Sounds like a little thing to give a $50 gas card, but it could add up to some real trouble at some point.
Yeah, death and taxes. I think the underscore taxes here, I think that if it is of a certain dollar value, it is subject to, it's effectively income to the individual. And if it's especially on a regular basis and over an income threshold, it has to be reportable and there has to be a tax benefit to it, whether it's a state tax or your federal income tax. So that's one issue. I think the other is, and we've seen this with the CARES Act, the PPP loans, and other subsidies, when those end. So you have to be careful about what you offer, because when you take it away, sometimes employees forget that that was a temporary benefit and you've taken it away. So I think there's that as well. And I think, again, I go back to the mobility and retention issues. There's that delicate balance of enticing and retaining not losing the investment that the employee, just after you've given all these great benefits, the employee moves on anyway.
No, that's great. You know, some of the other things we're seeing that their employers are going to have to deal with, or some of the challenges have to do with wage and hour. That can, you know, it seems like we talked about a lot about that prior to COVID, Jim. There's a whole bunch of things that happened on that prior to COVID, but that's still a big issue, is it not?
It certainly is. And I think while the inspectors from the U.S. Department of Labor and the state agencies took a bit of a vacation, not a vacation from work, but from doing workplace investigations because of COVID, they're back with a vengeance now. And I think, one, because they can, and two, because not all employers comply with, as they should, wage and hour laws. Things were a bit relaxed, but I think some of the problems they run into is, like I mentioned, the misunderstanding with regard to non-discretionary bonuses and the impact upon overtime. But timely payment of wages, wage deductions, wage withholdings, improper wage withholdings, the exemption from overtime, salary basis issues are just a few. But the one I focus on right now is the issue of, well, there are two. One is contingent workers and temporary workers, because the Department of Labor has come out with standards that were suspended during the Trump administration, one with regard to independent contractors, but the other was with regard to joint employers, where an employer working with another employer, and even a staffing agency working with an employer to provide temporary staffing needs, are deemed to be the same employer and therefore shared liability for failure to pay or failure to comply with wage laws. But the other is timekeeping. So unless you're incredibly disciplined, and I have to be, and you have to be when you're billing clients, you have to be very disciplined about your recording time and so on. But an hourly employee or somebody who's salary non-exempt, I mean, not exempt from overtime, but paid on a salary basis, still has to clock their time. And when you're at home, walking the dog, having a coffee break, you know, watching Judge Judy for a period of time during the day or whatever it is, or a better example would be working late at night. Are you tracking your time properly? And is that compensable time? Or when you get an email or a text from your employer, or you've sent something, is that compensable time? And we have not gotten to the point where we've conditioned employers and employees when you've got a remote workforce for proper timekeeping.
Yeah, there's no question about that. There's also the impact that bonuses have on overtime. Talk a little bit about that, because that's certainly another piece of the wage and hour issue.
Yeah, so we mentioned that earlier. That was the non-discretionary bonus, but it's also, what's a discretionary bonus? What's a non-discretionary bonus? So discretionary bonus would be, I like you, David, and I think you're a great guy, and there's no particular reason. It's, you know, it's Thursday, so here you go. Here's $500.
I'll be there in an hour, Jim. I'll be there. Just so you know, I'm on my way.
I'm paying it in Russian rubles, so you need a large suitcase. So, but I think, you know, that's a discretionary bonus, meaning there's no measurement. You didn't know it was coming. You didn't rely upon it. You didn't know that if I meet certain benchmarks, I'll get paid X or Y.
Right.
Compare that to a non-discretionary bonus, which is everything from a production-based bonus, a profit-based bonus, something based on quarterly or even shorter or longer periods of time, something based upon longevity, recruitment, and forgiveness of the bonus based upon staying a certain period of time, and so on. Those things have benchmarks. Those things were announced. You know how it's calculated. It's similar to a commission in that regard. You know how it's calculated. And based upon that, and again, many HR professionals and certainly people in the C-suite do not know this, but if you have an overtime eligible employee who receives a non-discretionary bonus, you take the amount of that bonus, you look back over the period of time in which it is earned or calculated, and you apply for the weeks in which the person worked overtime, you divide the bonus up into that amount, you apply that amount towards the total amount paid in the week to increase the regular rate. And based upon the regular rate, you have to pay 50% more than the regular rate in overtime. You compare it to what was paid before in overtime, and you pay the differential, the higher differential. That causes most HR professionals and C-suite executives great heartburn. And the complaints that we've all heard over the years is, wait a minute, I paid a bonus, now I have to pay something on top of that? Yes. And that has been a hot button issue because we've seen a lot more bonuses paid during COVID, retention and otherwise.
No, there's no question about that. You know, we mentioned about hiring, and we certainly mentioned about retention. Social media is a big deal today, and employers are, you know, they're getting more employees sending copies of social media posts. They are seeing more social media posts. Some are connected to employees. Some are not connected. Some are semi-connected. Some people are posting on their company pages. There's a lot of postings going on. And, you know, we're both fairly big posters in terms of understanding what's out there. You know, what do employers need to worry about today, or especially if they're out there monitoring what employees are posting or even the company's social media page?
Well, David, I will tell you, as we've discussed before, I'm not all that plugged into social media because I only did it in the years in which my kids were in high school to keep an eye on them. The only exception is I follow you, David, on social media because I find the best restaurants to go. Your wife is a true pro at the holiday decorations in your home. A truly example for anyone in their home decoration. But your car choices, your food choices, your vacation choices, those are the things that keep me truly interested and give me a zest for life. Now, that being said, a lot of employers look at that same stuff and say, what clubs do they belong to? You know, what are their interests? What are their comments on Twitter? And so on. And a lot of these activities are not protected, meaning if you have a public profile, then the employer can look at them. Right now, there are very few limitations in the law, state or otherwise, that keep an employer from monitoring social media. Now, and even if it's not done at work, you can be a part of a background check. It can be a part of just ongoing activities.
Right. You know, that's obviously what we need to be focused on. And employers need to really look about what they do with that information. I know is the most important part of it. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, of course, here on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. And we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go fish that!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Parking lot, maybe you get hit a lot. Driving through the green light, suddenly your side swipe. Put it in reverse, but it turned out that it was first.
Take it to Moody's. Take it to Moody's. Collision centers.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to HR Educational Radio. And a reminder, you can, of course, get the HR Power Hour not only at HRPowerHour.com, but you can do your local radio podcast, of course, all across the country, Spotify, iTunes, Pandora, and more. Check it out, like it, listen, and get educated. Our guest today is Jim Reedy, and we're talking about, hey, the post COVID workplace. We're talking about what's going to happen in the future, what employers need to be thinking about. And Jim's been talking to us about some of the legal issues and challenges ahead. Jim, as we think about that, and then we also look at opportunities, you know, retaliation, discrimination, those are still happening. You know, there's some new stuff going on. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I think we talked about before haves and have-nots. That could be the basis for someone to make a claim. Why not me? And so on. I think the other one is, well, you granted so-and-so's medical exemption from getting the vaccine. Why didn't you accept mine? You accepted my religious exemption, but then you said I couldn't perform the job as required. Now I'm out of a job. It must be because I belong to, you know, fill in the blank religion, or because I had this certain medical condition you didn't want to accommodate. We're starting to see those claims more and more. And that's sort of a lagging indicator. But we're also seeing things that, you know, there's a report that came out recently that said 60 to 70% of people that suffered discrimination, in particular harassment in the workplace, didn't report it. It's sort of the next generation of hashtag Me Too. And the other part of that is the idle mind is the devil's workshop. And so where you apply that? Remote work. We've seen a jump up in sex harassment claims based upon people working remotely. And with that, you know, not necessarily following employer policies and the formality of the workplace, whether it's sending inappropriate text or pictures or videos and the like. And we're seeing more and more of that. And so we're seeing these lagging claims coming out of COVID, but also because we have a new workplace where you've got more people working remote.
You're absolutely right. So what are some of your suggestions for creating this post-COVID employment arrangement? You know, what are the things that you would suggest employers really focus on?
I think looking at certainly your compliance with your existing policies, looking at new safety policies, but I think the opportunities for an employer creating a workable, successful post-COVID workplace employment relationship would include things like being clear with your employees about what your new work rules are, or reinforcing your existing work rules and what your expectations are. I think, and this goes to your field, David, updating your recruitment and hiring practices. Are you going to allow virtual hiring going forward? Are you going to suspend other practices that you did before? Designing or updating your workspace. HR gets involved in that too, for purposes of proper workflow. Do you need to have bigger offices? Do you need to have shared workspaces? Should you have open concept anymore, given certain safety concerns? Revisiting your leave policies. You know, people have grown accustomed to more handsome or generous leave policies based upon their familiar other needs. Improving your performance evaluation system. Let's get away from the checkmark system, the 1 through 5 range, and let's get into more substantive reviews, ones that make sense for the employer and the employee. And also training managers. It's not the old way. It's not your father, grandmother, grandfather's workplace. It's the new workplace. And if we're going to retain talent, managers, you can't be like, it's my fiefdom. Yes, there is some degree of hierarchy in every workplace, but let's do more by having more civility and respect with regard to the employees that are under you in the organization. And I think rethinking your benefit plan of equal or perhaps even greater importance to employees these days is not their wage, but it is instead their benefit package. Health insurance, life insurance, short-term disability, pet insurance, long-term care insurance, or just, again, the paid leave packages that are available. That, again, the work needs to get done, but you want a happy and healthy workplace. So I think those are some of the opportunities for a post-COVID workplace that a lot of HR professionals are already focusing on.
I 100% agree with all those. And I got to tell you, one of the things we are seeing is that training managers is back in vogue. Managers have been on the front lines of this COVID environment, and we've been doing it on shoestring budgets and just doing what they have to do. And now we really are going back to the basics. You know, it's interesting. We did this training for an organization, had multiple organizations, and we did it. It's called Dealing with Difficult People, such a simple topic, but everybody knows one. And we thought we were going to do just a couple trainings, and it has already spiraled to 6 trainings for leaders. And it's just amazing how such a simple, basic topic that's one of the foundational pieces of leadership is really getting a lot of traction, because, you know, people are having different expectations, and leaders and managers are having a little more difficulty understanding that, how to work with it, having that type of conversation.
Yeah, that's true. I have a hard time identifying with that, though, David, because as I come in, trumpets play, rose petals are thrown at my feet. I'm adored by the people I work with. So I have a hard time understanding that. But no, I think that's certainly true. I think that what's the expression? The world would be a great place if it wasn't for all these people. I think that we could. There's a judge in our federal court in New Hampshire who says that assume on any given day, you'll either offend or be offended. And I think that's largely true, whether we intend to or not. And I think that training in the workplace is a great idea, because it's a new workplace and employees have a lot of choices. So employers have to, I think, revisit everything from recruitment to welcoming to onboarding to sustaining that workforce. And it can be as simple as civility, respect, and grace.
You are 100% correct. And we're going to wrap this up in the last segment of the HR Power Hour, heard on WLOB 100.5 FM. And of course, podcasts are all across all national channels. We'll be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
In a recent survey, investors shared what they felt were the greatest threats to their retirement. It's no surprise the most common threats include stock market volatility, economic uncertainty, conflict in the Middle East. Unfortunately, there are many threats beyond your control that can affect your retirement savings. At Goldco, a leader in precious metals, the team believes one way to protect your investment portfolio is with physical gold and silver. Goldco will send you a free 1 ounce silver American Eagle coin, and all you have to do is pay for shipping and handling. No obligation, 100% free. Call 855-971-2006 to get your free silver American Eagle coin.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to HR Educational Radio. And of course, our great guest today, Jim Reedy, the well-adorned HR professional and, HR employment attorney. Just employment attorney. We'll just leave it at that. I started laughing, Jim. I'm sorry. It's based on your last comment. There are probably some people going, why is he laughing? Because we had such a good segment to laugh. So, and the adornment just was there with the rose petals. Couldn't help but laugh. Couldn't help. As we wrap up this show today, there's no question that COVID has turned our world upside down. Tell me a little about the last things that employers should really think about. Highlight, wrap it up, put a big bow on it. What should they do right now?
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think, first of all, I want to say, David, throughout COVID and where we all were remote or largely remote and insulated and the like, appreciate the fact that the HR Power Hour continued its regular programming. And it really was a lifeline to a lot of HR professionals and great diversity of topics, useful, practical, and timely information. And I think that that was really important. So back to your comment about COVID turning the world upside down. There's no question about that. I mean, loss of life, long-haul COVID, interrupting the flow of commerce, and the workplace certainly was not immune. But I think what it's shown us is, you know, as the masks come off and people, you can see faces and they're smiling again, and there's a degree of certain freedom that we have not experienced in some time, it has shown us that in spite of these challenges that none of us ever expected to experience in our lifetime, that we are resilient. We've made it through. Now, even if there's another surge or spike, I think we've learned to adapt. The new normal means that employers and just people in general can thrive, but in order to thrive, they need to adapt. And I'm confident, well, I mean, I'm a believer in capitalism. And in that regard, and some, the weak don't survive, meaning the weak businesses and the like, or there's a natural evolution to business with innovation and otherwise. But I think the employers that have the plan, that are aware of what we've been through and have learned those lessons and are prepared to adapt, that indeed they will succeed. I think challenges certainly remain, and there's more to come, whether we're talking about another surge or another challenge of any sort. But if we can survive a pandemic, a worldwide pandemic, we have the tools, we have the experience to deal with just about anything else. So I am by nature, perhaps by profession, I'm a cynic, but by nature, I'm an optimist. And I do believe that there are indeed brighter days ahead. So I appreciate you taking on this topic. I appreciate what you do with this audience. And I'm grateful to be a part of today's program.
No, we appreciate having you on. You know, attorneys as well as HR professionals have been at the forefront of this. And so I don't want to minimize that by saying that it's just HR. I think, you know, I probably have had more phone calls in the last 2 years than probably in the history of your career. And I would say that, I know you and I have talked offline, obviously, about that. And so, you know, kudos to the content and information you provide, because it's always clear, it's always concise, and it always is relevant to today's world. And today was no different. Then we really appreciate you being on the show, hope to have you back really soon.
Hey, thanks, David.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.